You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 111. 111, all the ones. A special number. I'm not sure what it means, but I'm sure it's a special number. It's a special number, and we have a special guest today with a dream. Now, all guests who come on the show with a dream are special, of course, but today's is extra special because Sophia brings two or three little dreams joined together. She went to bed last night knowing she was going to be on the show and asked for a special dream to bring to the podcast show. And it is absolutely what she got, a beautiful special dream. We get right into it. You're going to love listening as Sophia connects while we're talking about the dream, while we're interpreting it. The little clues her unconscious mind adds into the conversation. It's a really special dream. It's a special moment. It's episode 111. So just before I bring Sophia into the show, because some of you may be thinking, well, hang a minute, is Jane Theresa really clever? Does she know exactly what's going to happen before she talks to Sophia? No, we always record the dream first, and then we go back and add the beginning and add the end. So that's what I'm doing now. I know you're going to love Sophia's dream and interpretation and alchemy. But just before we go there, just a reminder of the usual places that I'd love you to go and visit: www.dream.net.au stands for Australia, dream.net.au, to find out how I can help you personally. If you'd rather have a quiet and confidential consultation with me, either by Skype, by phone, or by email. And there's also lots and lots of free resources for you to enjoy at that site. There's also my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or find me on Facebook. And now here's Sophia and her dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Sophia.
Thank you. Hello, Jane Theresa.
Hello. How are you this evening?
I am great. A little bit cold, but otherwise I'm good.
Yeah.
And how are you?
I'm a little bit the same. I've got three jumpers on, which is very unusual, isn't it, for winter? But
I'm sitting in front of the heater, so.
Oh, that sounds nice. Okay, we're all sitting comfortably. We're sitting by our fires. We're nice and warm. And of course, I don't know what dream you've got for me at all, so tell me the story of your dream and we'll go in from there.
Okay. Well, before I went to sleep last night, knowing that I was going to talk to you today, I asked for a special dream. And basically what I had were little segments of various things happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote them all down this morning. And the funny part was that I had a dream about you as well. And I missed the 6:30 appointment. And I was then, it was 7:00 by then, and I ran downstairs and looked at my mobile wanting to call you to apologize for being late or not making the appointment. And I saw on my screen, on my mobile, that you were actually having a session with some other lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see the back of her. And then when I counted the segments of the notes that I made, there's actually 7 segments here.
Well, there you go. I like that. So you got the 7:00. You missed our 6:30 because everyone listening in at 6:30 that we're recording this at the moment, and you dreamt that you slept in till 7. And you ended up with 7 segments of your dream.
Exactly.
So you weren't late at all.
And it didn't click until after when I was counting them, and I thought, 7, 7, 7, there's something about these 7. So here we are.
So which was the most prominent one?
Okay. A girl flying. I could hear a noise which was like a helicopter noise, but not as intense. It was a rhythmic, mechanical noise. And this, I knew it was a girl and she was flying. All I could see, though, I could not see a figure. I could see white and gold. She then sat on an electricity pole or the wires out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped there for a moment, and then she came down and sat on a little wall that was just in front of me, probably about 3 or 4 feet high off the ground. And we talked for a little while, and then she left again.
Mm.
Now, the funny thing about it was that she had very large eyes, but there was no pupil in it. It was just white. They looked like two little bird eggs in her eye sockets, and that was that, and very long lashes.
Mm. Did you feel, how did you feel looking at the eyes that looked like just like white bird eggs? How did it make you feel?
I didn't feel anything. I wasn't freaked or I just thought it was a bit odd.
Mm.
But other than that, it looked natural.
Mm. And she had very long lashes as well.
Yes.
Mm. And have you any idea, Sophia, what you talked about?
No.
No.
Not a clue.
And any feeling of what kind of feeling it gave you talking with her?
It was as if it was some kind of agreeable conversation. We were both talking. I don't know if she was giving me advice. I honestly don't know. Mm. I don't have any recollection of any feeling or any specific feeling.
And when she was just sitting on the electricity wires in the street, how did you feel about that?
Well, I was amazed and I was just watching. The noise was more what kind of stood out, even though it was not loud.
Mm.
And it was like a buzzing kind of.
Isn't it interesting, you know, you saw the noises like a helicopter. Mm. And which is kind of like, I guess, a more of a whirring noise that has a pitch that kind of varies as the rotor blades go around.
Yes.
And yet you've just described the sound as kind of buzzy. And if you get very close to electricity wires, it's a buzzy kind of, that's a buzzy noise, isn't it? You know that noise
yes,
of fear
yes, yes,
as well. So it's a kind of, you know, similar noise there.
It sounded as if the noise was coming from her.
From her, yes. So she...
Because it was...
Yeah.
She was. It was sort of happening as she was flying even before she went on the electricity wire.
Mm.
And she sat at the end where there is where it's connected with the electrical pole.
Mm.
And she just kind of sat there for a moment. There was really no body. All I could see was like strings of white and gold.
Mm.
But it was more of an etheric figure, I should say.
Yeah, I get that. I love the fact that she started as kind of etheric and of the air and more a noise, and as you say, just kind of white and gold. And then she gradually, as the dream went on, grounded. You know, first of all, it's like sitting on the electricity wires, which is, oh, wow, that's amazing, look at that. But then she wasn't actually balanced on them completely like a tightrope walker. She was actually nuzzled up towards the pole, which actually has a connection with the ground. And then she grounded and came down to the little wall, which was only 3 or 4 feet above the ground. So she sort of progressively grounded. And as she grounded, although she was etheric, you saw her eyes. There was more detail and she was able to talk to you. So there was communication. There's also communication in the electricity wires or the power wires in the street. They're about communication in a way, aren't they? I guess many years ago, they were the telegraph wires that brought communication into the house, you know, brought our phones into the house, our phone wires.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as electricity wires, bringing electricity and power, they're powering up as well as heating and light in a house, they're often powering up communication items, radio, television, computer. So it's that kind of feeling of powering and communication that starts quite etherically and almost quite angelic with that white and gold color as well. But gradually in the dream kind of grounds, gets close to the pole, connects, begins to connect and comes down and then talks to you. Presumably, even though you've forgotten what she said in the dream, the buzzy kind of sound became presumably language. It became grounded. It became practical. She talked to you.
Yes. So and then she flew away again.
Yeah, that's right. When she flew away, how did that leave you feeling?
Oh, a little bit dazzled, I guess.
Mm. So she left, but she left you a feeling of something special having happened, or?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, because
there is some connection.
Yeah, yes. Connection. Connection's the big word, isn't it? It's like the connection with the electricity wires, there's making connection with the pole, there's coming to the earth, there's making connection with the earth, there's talking to you, which is making a connection. And as she flew away, you still felt that there had been a connection as well. And it was also the connection in the eyes and really looking at the eyes. And I was, birds' eggs are, something's going to hatch from the birds, eggs, birds,
okay.
Presumably.
Okay.
So it's almost like there's something new beginning, something's going to hatch and grow that you're looking at there. And looking into the eyes of something is like looking into the eyes of your soul. You know, we talk about the eyes as the window of the soul. You look deeply into someone's eyes and you get a feeling for them. So much of this part of the dream is really connecting with a part of yourself that's quite etheric, quite angelic almost, something that is just beginning to ground and take practical shape and connection in your life, and you're really connecting with that. It's almost like something is going to hatch and grow, like birds growing from eggs, if I make this connection. But the thing that I really especially love about that is that you said she had no pupils, which we get because they were white eyes, but dreams do tend to go for wordplay, and it's almost like there are no pupils, there are no students, those kind of pupils.
Okay.
There's no learning. And the feeling that I got from that, particularly because you knew that a conversation took place, you knew that she talked to you, but you didn't know what it was and you were kind of dazzled. It's almost like this is something that you haven't studied. There are no pupils. It's not as if you've done a course or anything. It's not something you can learn, but something you felt was communicated to you in the dream. You met and communicated with a part of yourself that is kind of ethereal, etheric, something new that's just beginning, something quite wonderful, and yet it's something that you don't have to study. It's something you just get in the, just like that.
Okay.
And it connects because your wall was 3 or 4 feet above the ground. It connects in some way with the numbers 3 and 4. So we're going to look at, is it 3 or 4 weeks? Is it 3 or 4 months? Is it 3 or 4 years? Is it when you were three or four? So I'd probably say it's connected with either when you were 3 or 4 or 3 or 4 years ago. So 3 or 4 years ago would have been 2009, 2010.
Okay.
That's 2008 to 2009.
Yes, there was something I started doing at that time.
Yeah, I have to correct myself again. It's 2007 to 2008. This part of my brain does not work when I'm doing dreams. Does that still connect?
No. Yes.
What were you doing then?
It was something I started within my work, which has been going on, but just sort of plotting along.
Mm-hmm. So it's connecting with something that you started in your work 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
But although you started, it's got that feeling that it's just plodding along.
Yes.
And because a dream reflects what was happening the day or two before, so you went to bed and you particularly asked for some dream or a dream for tonight, it still would have connected with what is current for you and really highlighted that. So in that aspect of your work that's just been, you introduced 3 or 4 years ago, but you feel it's just been plodding along, was there something in the last couple of days where it really began to shift or change in some way?
I actually spoke to somebody today regarding getting it off the ground.
Oh, that is so lovely. Did you hear what you said there?
Yes, I did. I just realised what I said.
That's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. For everyone listening in, just in case you didn't get it, and I'm absolutely sure that you all did, it's about getting something off the ground, and that's at the end of the dream. That's what the little angel, for want of a better word, did.
Yeah,
she got off the ground. She flew. So in the dream, just to, you know, to rephrase that, the dream would have been processing both your request for a dream about something important to talk to us about, and also reflecting the couple of days before that. And it picked something along the nature that we've been talking about that's been in your life for 3 or 4 years, that you started 3 or 4 years ago. It's been plodding along, but you drew in and this more etheric aspect of it and really began to see the possibilities of this other part of yourself that maybe doesn't need study, maybe doesn't need pupils, but is very special and is really about making a connection. You made a connection with this in the dream, and you also got the feeling in the dream that she flew away, that it's like you grounded something, you made the connection, and then sent it on its way, or it took off, you know, as we hope that whatever you've got off the ground is going to take off and fly, and she did in the dream. And even without speaking to me, you somehow, during the course of today, following the dream, actually took the step and spoke to someone about getting it off the ground. So you followed the fairy, you followed the angelic idea, you followed making this connection with actually starting to get it off the ground.
How amazing. And you just hit the nail on the head. Yes.
That's beautiful. And, you know, because dreams do play such plays on words, Sophia, it's very possible that this is going to create a big buzz. Do you know? Because she was buzzing noise.
That's why the buzzing noise. Yeah. Yes. Wow, okay. Well, that sounds really encouraging.
It is. Well, without necessarily giving us any details, when you had the discussion with someone today about getting off the ground, did you feel that it went very, very well?
Yes, it did. It did, actually. it's talking to a television production company, and yes, she thought it was a great idea, and I will be seeing her soon to actually talk about the various aspects of it.
That is so good because, you know, those, I think when I ran through a little bit earlier the uses of electricity wires, I said they power up things in our house. Did I mention televisions? I think I did. So, yes, there's that aspect
and
of it.
And the screen, the telephone screen when I, in the dream with you, when I missed
yes,
the appointment.
There you go, the television screen. And you've probably seen...
The screen of the phone.
The screen of the phone, yes. So that's a powering thing as well.
And it was something I've been meaning to do for a very long time, and I don't know what possessed me to do it this afternoon. I had the phone numbers and everything, and I just... It's been months now that it's been in my mind, but I have never taken that step to do it. And then today I decided I was going to do it, and that was this afternoon before I came home from work.
Congratulations. It's wonderful. You know, so many dreams we kind of act upon before we fully understand them. So sometimes without even receiving an interpretation for a dream or interpreting it ourselves, we take action on it, which you did. And then some people might say, well, if you're going to go and do that anyway, what's the value of interpreting a dream or getting an interpretation? And there is a value, and it's that...
Of course.
Yeah, once you...
Because that just seals the idea and it makes you want to go through with it.
Yes.
I know it's not going to be easy, but had you not said all this tonight, I probably would not be as keen to go ahead with it.
That's right, yeah.
Because you think, oh, it's just another dream, but knowing that, yeah, there is more substance, which there's always more substance in a dream,
yes, isn't it? There is. It gives you more the impetus to actually push it through. And also because we will, out of the discussion today, also perform an alchemy, you know, that will then overcome any limitations that might otherwise have been blocking even a good idea, that may sabotage, or if it's all good, an alchemy that actually accelerates the process. And it's always also good just to be, you know, totally aware of the processes that are happening. So congratulations. And so even though there were two eyes, and it's normal to have two eyes, two birds' eggs, are there two aspects of this TV idea as well?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, how amazing.
Yes, amazing how every little bit
detail.
Of a dream, every
yes.
detail,
yes. Yes.
You know, has some aspect to it. So, well, that's fantastic. Now, you said there were more segments, so I wonder if you'd
yes.
like to pick another segment that might help
yes.
with this.
Now, the next one was, I want to pick the most interesting ones, but I better go in order here.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a warehouse full of aeroplane parts.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all on the shelves. And a person I know took me around showing me that, as well as, and there was a double bed in the room, just very simply made up. It was not messy. It was very simply made up, a very basic bed. Then I had to leave, and I went outside. I had left my dog in the car. Mm-hmm. Which is something I do quite often, if I'm just popping in and out from somewhere. But at this time, I had left her a little bit too long in the car, and then I couldn't find where I parked my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking around, and I was quite disturbed because I knew Bella would be dehydrated. She'd been in the car for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then a policeman guided me to where Bella was found. She was not in the car. She was found outside the car. And she was sitting on a wall.
Mm.
But she was actually unconscious.
Mm.
And a woman, I just touched her. Or I'm not sure if it was me or the other woman that was closer to her, just touched her, and she became alive.
Mm-hmm.
She jumped off the wall and started hugging me as if she was a small child.
Mm.
Because she was actually hugging me up to my waist, and she's certainly not that tall. And the policeman said to me that he helped me found her as a gift.
He said what?
He told me that he helped me to find her.
As a gift?
As a gift.
Oh, that it was a gift to you.
Yes.
Ah, and did you have any idea why he wanted to give you a special gift?
No.
That's beautiful. So the policeman that helped you for a gift. How would you have described the policeman in three words?
Very kind,
mm-hmm.
very cooperative, very caring.
Mm. And one other question. You said that when in the warehouse with the plane parts on the shelves, you said it was someone that you actually know in waking life that was showing you around. Is that a male or a female?
A male.
A male. And how would you describe him in three words?
Probably similar to the policeman.
Mm. Kind, cooperative and caring.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, so what I love about this, and I don't know whether you realised it when you were reading it out, but, you know, you've got the plane parts in there, and what plane parts do if you put them all together as they fly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in the dream, at the beginning of the dream, they weren't able to fly because they were on shelves. They were shelved. So this was something that in that part of the dream, you hadn't got it off the ground. They were the component parts.
Okay.
And you were in a warehouse. And again, because dreams do tend to play word plays, it could be an aware house,
yes,
a house in
yes.
which one is aware, particularly because later on in the dream, your little dog is unconscious. She's unaware.
Okay.
And you make yes. her conscious by touching her. You bring her into awareness again.
Yes.
So it can be really helpful to look in dreams, you know, for actual opposites, even if they're plays on words. And you've got that aware and unaware in a way, conscious and unconscious.
Yes.
Flying and in parts is another one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you touched your little dog, that's like getting in touch with something, as well as a healing touch. It's like, I'm getting in touch with this. And when another way of looking at getting in touch with something is like when we say, oh, we're grounding something. You have an idea in the air, and to make it happen, you first have to ground it. Then if it's something that's going to fly, it's going to take off again. But to get an idea to work, you first have to ground it, to manifest it, to get in touch with it.
Yes.
So there was that feeling also in the dream, in that part of the dream of something that was represented by your little dog, which we'll come back to, which you needed to ground and get in touch with and bring back to life so that something wonderful could happen.
Why was I concerned that she was dehydrated?
That may be partly related to actual, because you do actually keep her in a car and waking life. And so, you know, for something to go wrong, that would...
That could have just been a conscious thought.
It could have been. But it's much more likely to be because water is one of those very few symbols that does tend to mean a similar thing to all of us. And that is that water in our dreams tends to represent our emotions. To be concerned with her getting dehydrated could be concerned with, and we'll come to what she actually represents, but concerned to losing emotional touch with something, it becoming too dry, dehydrated, lacking emotion.
Yes.
And so that therefore, again, when you actually touch her, it's like bringing something back to life, bringing the emotions back into life.
This is true. And I had a dream a while ago where I looked inside my mouth and my cells were dehydrated.
Ah, there you go. So, you know, looking...
You're hitting it on the head.
Drying out the emotion. And that could be why you couldn't find your car to begin with in the dream. It's like your car will be, that's how I get around, that's how I do things. And not only that, but it's something very precious about Bella, which I do want to touch on more. And in the dream, you had lost touch with that. So you've got the planes that are in parts, so they're not flying. Bella that you can't get in touch with, and the car, the means of getting you around and achieving things in life, you couldn't remember where you put it, and the losing touch with emotion. So it's almost like this whole part was something I felt really emotional about that I really want to get off the ground and get it flying. I've shelved it. It's in parts. It's maybe even kind of asleep. You've got the double bed there too. And I've lost touch with it. I've lost touch with the emotions of it. And what gets you back into the emotional touch, you know, the ability to touch your little dog and bring her alive and almost bring her into sort of humanity was the policeman who you described as kind, cooperative and caring. The same person that in the warehouse made you aware of, look, you know, these planes actually aren't flying. So it's getting back in touch yourself, with emotions of being kind, cooperative and caring, not only towards other people, which I'm sure you do very well, but towards yourself, and allowing this kindness, cooperativeness and caring and your emotions and feelings around that to bring this gift. What the policeman gave you in the end was a gift of getting back in touch with Bella. Bring this gift back into life. So it's a gift that you have about something that you associate with Bella and emotions and getting it off the shelves and into the air and flying. So what does Bella represent to you? What three words would you use to describe
her? I love her very much. I think more than most people love their dogs. I know everybody loves their dogs, but she's very attached. I'm very attached to her. And she comes to work with me every day.
So,
give you an idea.
So she does relate to work as well. Okay.
Yes.
So she represents absolute love at home and at work. And in the dream, at first you couldn't find her because you couldn't find your car. So it's like you've probably been working so hard at work that much as you actually have chosen what you do at work because of a love of it, a passion of it, and a love of the people or that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, you've been losing touch with that.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's bringing that back into focus that is enabling you to get everything off the ground. So with that idea that you took today or you started to take today to the about the TV production company, is that something that is passionate? Is that where the love is there? Or does it have a feeling that you can take something that you love and make more of it?
Yes, it has nothing to do with television. It's more to do with what I do. But that will give me an avenue to promote it.
Yeah. And so in that promotion, there you would get from the dream that if there's ways to promote that are emphasize love and being in touch with kindness, cooperative and caring, and somehow in touch with your special gift, because that's what the policeman shows you in the dream. Knowing that it's a special gift that gets it off the ground. So if you can put that into your promotion in some way, that you get across that message that this is a special gift and it's about love and kindness and cooperative and caring, you can get, you know how when you market things, you have to try to get, you know, you can't just sell the practicality, you need to include the emotional element or the sensual elements, really, or the sensuous or the senses. So it's making sure that you don't cut too quickly to the chase of this is the practical stuff and this is what it does, to actually also give it that feeling of the gift of kindness, of love. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that then she was hugging me and you felt, I felt a lot of love coming from her when she was hugging me.
Mm. That's beautiful. So you really totally, the love embraced you in the dream and you embraced her back again. So that's totally what you take forward with you.
Yes.
Technically, you know, we all get worn down and get exhausted and have sometimes to do things at work and plod on and do stuff that we're kind of just too exhausted to do. But even if you find yourself in that kind of arena again, to maybe get the feeling, and I guess this is part of the alchemy, of your little dog being as big as that and hugging you right up to your waist and thinking, yes, breathing in this energy, kindness, cooperative, caring, perfect love, and also the similar kind of airy feelings of the ethereal fairy, for want of a better word, and to bring that energy into you. Yes, that's right. This is the gift. This is the love. This is being in touch with this. Even though I'm working hard and feeling a bit dry and losing touch sometimes with the emotional passion.
I have been feeling like that for a while.
Yeah. That's a quick alchemy to bring that back in. We will focus on that when we get to the alchemy. Is there another segment there that you feel is relevant that you'd like to bring in?
If I could, yes.
Yeah.
Then I was in a small boat. I was in Greece in a small boat. And we sailed from my hometown across to another island. That was a very small boat. The water was calm and it was just floating, and we reached the island. We went into the bay and it was just me with four or five boys, young boys in the boat. But it was more like a raft. And once we got there, I wanted to provide some food for the boys. I wanted to have a shower, and I started frying onions. I don't know what that means. It is a preparation for Greek cooking that you fry the onions first.
Okay.
But why that in a shallow pan with oil, of course? And that's what I was doing.
What a beautiful dream. Isn't that lovely? I mean, the whole thing's beautiful, but isn't that just, you've painted such a lovely picture there of just floating.
Really? I didn't quite get it myself. I didn't understand anything about this dream.
But it felt good, didn't it, that floating along in the calm?
Yes, yes, and there was no problem getting there, even though it was a very small raft. You couldn't really get there with such a small raft. It looked as if everybody was on top of one another, but we made it there, and we did pull into the bay, and we did get on shore. So, it was a safe journey.
Yeah, it's a safe journey. Was it just a dream island, or was it actually an island that you know?
It is an island that I know. I have only been to it once, but it is an island that I know.
And when you went to it, was there a special significance around the time that you went there?
Part of my family lived there a very long time ago, and it's probably about 30-odd years since I went. But it's a beautiful island. It's rocky, not very fertile, but it is quite graphic, quite nice.
So if it had a personality, what would it be?
It's a cute little island.
Cute. So it really... Yeah, go on.
It would never be a touristy island. Mm-hmm. But people love it. People do love it when they go there. And the people that live on it have a very nice nature.
Mm. So it's really... what kind of nature would that be as well as nice?
Oh, very placid, very happy.
Sounds very idyllic.
Yes. Yes, that's a good word.
If you lived there now, what would be missing in your life?
Oh, my God, everything, I think.
Yeah.
It's a terribly small island.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of population. But for some reason, I have an affinity to it. I liked it. And I like all the people that I know that are from there.
Mm. Okay, so that makes sense. So it's not a place that you would want to go because so much will be missing. But what you're really focusing on there is basically the nature of the people, the happy nature, and the nature of the island is kind of cute. And you also mentioned it was a safe journey to it. So it's almost like a safe sanctuary, but it's all good feelings. It's all feelings. It's all strong, positive emotions there, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's taken you back to Greece, which is where you're from, because you started at your hometown, but you moved out to the island and the water was very calm and you were just floating. So what you described there was, it sounded so calm and floating and lovely, and it was, and it all worked out. It was a safe journey and you got there, but you noticed that it was almost like against the odds. Or, you know, it was a really small raft. And there were so many people on it, and we would, you know, it's really quite amazing that we got there, and yet it was a beautiful journey, you know. And so you've got the emotions in there, the water. Not only have you got the fact that water in our dreams tends to represent the emotions, and this segment of the dream was water, so you're visiting the emotional part, but you're also connecting, and it's all happy emotions, and you're very much connecting them, as you say, to your home, your childhood home, to Greece.
Yes.
Not only because you sail from the home, but you go to an island which also relates to your family, and you, once you're there...
It feels like home, yes.
It feels
very,
like home.
Very,
And once you're there, you start doing a very, as you said to me, a very Greek thing, which is frying onions, which is the beginning of any traditional Greek dish.
Yes.
So you were concerned with nurturing the boys... With having a shower yourself, look, I'm glad you put that in, looking after yourself, cleansing, getting fresh and cleansed.
But I was really concerned about feeding them. That's very true.
Mm. So it's nurturing, feeding in a way that relates back to the good stuff about your home, the good stuff, because in the dream it's all the good stuff, the calm, the happy, the cute, the floating, the safe journey, the good stuff. So four or five boys. Boys tends to represent your male side. So, again, it's your outer world, perhaps your world of work. But this time we're going four to five. So this new project that we referenced earlier was three to four, you know, from the 3 to 4 feet wall.
Yes.
And this is a year, 2 years. God, my maths when I'm doing this is atrocious. This is a year before that. Something that's maybe been in your life a year before that, so around about 2006.
Well, that is when I started studying about what I'm trying to get off the ground now.
Okay, so that takes us back to the actual...
Because I spend an actual year studying.
Be studying. And that, so studying is more like the... It was an official course?
A little bit, yes. Parts of it were, and parts were mainly me... getting acquainted with all the components of what I'm doing.
Kind of like Greek home cooking.
Yes. It takes a long time to get it right.
Yeah. So it's, 4 to 5 boys. It's something like that, you know, back to back to the roots, back to the home, back to the basic nature that you want to have, and nurturing that, looking after it, getting the onions ready 4 to 5 years, cooking it up, something along those lines. But there's definitely the feeling of the nurturing. We're back to the full-on emotions there. It's about nurturing. And with any, and it may also relate to there being perhaps 4 to 5 different aspects now of what you, how old were the boys roughly in that part of the dream?
They were young. They were probably around five or six.
Mm.
Yes, probably around five.
Yeah. So they probably are something then that's been in your life since you started studying.
Yes.
For this, and it's now how do I nurture this, which, as you say, is what you have to do to get something off the ground. You can't nurture something without putting emotion and passion and love into it.
Correct.
And you can't get the plain parts off the shelves without having the emotional energy to put the kindness, cooperation, caring and love into them.
That's right.
So nurturing's important, but, you know, to nurture at expense of yourself would not be good. But what I like about the dream is you do have, you having a shower is important. So that's nurturing. And the whole feel of the dream is nurturing. It's like you're going to eat this meal as well. It's calm. It's floating. It's all feel good.
Yes.
So, you know, that part of the dream is about getting in touch with feel good emotions that do actually go right back to your Greek roots.
Okay.
And including those.
And of course, yes.
Yeah. So that part of the dream captured not so much getting the plane off the ground or getting the etheric aspect off the ground, but it looked at the emotional aspects. And, you know, you don't expect the boat to fly unless it's a flying boat. So you kind of didn't get it off the ground, but you did get it to its destination and set about the nurturing of all of that.
Against all odds.
Okay, yeah, as you say, against all odds, yes. That's the key part. I think that's the part. Yes, thank you for that, because I got that when you talked about the dream and I overlooked mentioning it again. Against all odds. That when things feel tough, or when you feel maybe that you've been exhausted, there's been a long journey, that metaphorically you don't know where you've parked the car, you know, all of these things, and things feel tough and against the odds, your dream shows that unconsciously you know.
Such a little boat can't get across such a big sea.
That's right. But in the dream,
you got there.
And the dream reflects your unconscious mind as well as your conscious. So if there was any unconscious block to doing it, we didn't see it in the dream.
No.
It's more that your unconscious is actually programmed to deliver against the odds.
And smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing. Yeah, good observation. And as you said, they're a small boat across a really big sea. So it's like almost as if the goals in your mind sometimes feel to you like that's really big. Like this is a big sea. This is a big ocean. This is a bigger destination. You know, I want to fly this plane a long way. But your dreams are saying, yeah, but you can do it, even though it may feel against the odds. You are actually doing it.
Yes, which is what I feel, that how can I ever be possibly able to get this thing off the ground?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm such a little person. I'm just one person trying to achieve this big dream.
Mm. But that little angelic white gold angel thing, when she was tiny, 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 anything much smaller than you are, and she got off the ground.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And she was flying around freely.
Yeah. And sometimes things can be too big in a sense, you know, like all those plane parts were big and heavy and they needed a special magic to put them together to get them off the ground. So sometimes it's good to be small. I know what I'm trying to say. I'm not quite finding the words to do it. But, you know, sometimes things can be too big and unwieldy to get going.
Yes.
Whereas one person working on their own, as opposed to, say, a committee.
Yes.
One person.
Or a factory.
Yeah, or a factory. One person can actually work miracles.
And the other thing with the parts, that we're all the same.
Oh.
So all the boxes contain the same parts.
So were there enough parts to make a plane, or were there too many?
Oh, my goodness. It was a whole warehouse.
Mm.
But they were all the same. Like in each box, there were just every box was the same. I don't know what was in the box. I could see they were all full. I knew that obviously in a box there were at least two or three elements in it.
Mm.
but every box was the same.
Well, what really happened in that dream, the boxes were identical, but we don't know if the parts inside were identical and wouldn't have fitted together to make a plane, or whether they had all the bits necessary. But the important part about that dream was that it changed and it turned from the first part of the dream, which was things that should fly being on the shelves,
yes,
and that are sleeping. It changed to actually getting in touch with the love, the passion, the kind, the cooperative and caring, and embracing that and knowing that that was actually the magical key, so to speak.
Yes.
So, you know...
Finding Bella.
Yeah, finding Bella. And it's interesting that you just said, when I said, you know, one person working on their own can often achieve more than a committee, and you said, yeah, or a factory, and then you related straight back to the warehouse with the plane parts as being, you know, you made the connection there of factory. So it's like, you know, the magic, the flying is not done with a factory, even though I'm sure, you know, you may be considering bringing in factory elements. That's not done just with the factory. The magic is getting in touch with the emotions, the love, the special gift that you've got.
Okay, that sounds beautiful. I'm actually getting excited about this whole thing now.
Well, so you should be, you know, especially since you actually spoke to someone today to get it all moving, get it off the ground.
This was quite amazing that I just had a little bit of time left before the end of the day, and I thought I'm going to make this phone call, and it was so positive that I was amazed.
You know, you've did that. That's really lovely, because you know you started off by saying the first part of your dream was that you missed a 6:30 appointment with me. Well, there's another aspect. You know, you just stayed later at work today and you thought, oh, I've got a bit of time, I'll just go and do this. And you weren't late. We phoned you at exactly 6:30 and you were there answering the phone. We were all spot on time. But I wonder if some part of you thought, oh, I'll just fit this in. I hope I won't be late. No, I would love to move from this, since you've identified, you know, resonated with these three parts. And I know there were seven parts and we've only looked at three or four of them. But without making the podcast 2 hours long, which we can't really do because it won't fit on the server, I'd like to tie it there, unless there's anything that of those other three bits that, although we can't look at them, that's just jumping about in your mind now and you're thinking, I've just got to say that it fits in with this. Is there anything like that?
Again, a policeman, I ran through a red light, a policeman was stopped me, but he was very kind. He was concerned about me and started taking my blood pressure and gave me a tablet to take. And then I visited Princess Mary, and she was showing me around the palace. And I was to meet the queen, whom I had not seen for 30 years. So it sums it up.
Yeah, it does indeed.
And that, part one.
And the queen you hadn't seen for 30 years relates to, said you last time you went to that island was 30 years ago too. So there's a connection there with, connecting with something from 30 years ago that you haven't seen or touched for 30 years that you'd like to bring back in now. And as you say there, the red traffic light and the policeman, that spells it all out. The best way to deal with blood pressure, take the tablets if you need the tablets, but it's basically being kind, cooperative and caring with yourself.
That I am not.
Yeah.
And I should keep that in mind, definitely.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm going to wave my finger at you down the microphone here, Sophia. Don't keep it in mind. Make it happen. Do it. Ground it.
Thank you so much. You have been a wealth of information, and I wouldn't have known any of these had I not spoken to you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Well, look, we'll just return to the alchemy just to finish it off, to make sure that it works for you. So what I would really love you to do is to visualize for your dream alchemy, visualize, let me just change this slightly and get it right. Okay. What I would like you to do is visualize just looking down, no, not even looking down, just standing up and feeling Bella hugging you round your waist, and just feeling this wonderful, extreme love and kindness and caring coming from her right into your being. So you can actually feel that seeping in. And as you feel that you bring your two hands together And in your hands, you see the little white gold angel. Let's call her an angel in your hands. And you just lift your hand, you know, like you lift when you something's going to fly away, like you lift it to push it up. And you lift it and she flies into the air. And so she flies as you're feeling this wonderful love coming from Bella hanging around your waist. And as that happens, you say to yourself, I'm getting her off the ground and look, the miracle of flying. I'm getting it off the ground and look, the miracle of flying. So that's the dream alchemy. So it's making sure that you're getting in touch with all the right feelings. That's cutting right across the red traffic light dream as well there. It's cutting right across the boat dream. It's getting in touch with all the emotions. And it's making sure that we've connected in that alchemy visualization. We've connected the getting off the ground and the flying with happening because you're allowing to love yourself, you're allowing to nurture yourself, you're allowing to connect with all that wonderful energy, because in the end, it's connecting with that kind of energy that moves mountains, that enables us to do things apparently against all odds, because that love and allowing that love not just to be for other people, but also to be for yourself is a power that is immeasurable, that cannot compete with practical day-to-day plodding. Does that make sense?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay. And also just have a little think with what it is from 30 years ago that it's time to reconnect with as well.
Yes, yes. I think I know.
Okay. Is it something you can share or is it a quiet knowing?
No, we'll leave it at that.
Yes.
Yes, but I think I know.
Okay.
I think I know.
That's wonderful.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Sophia. Thank you for sharing your very, very wise dreams. And I can already see you flying. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You've given me so much confidence. I thank you so much.
A pleasure. Isn't that lovely? Now, what would you like to get off the ground in your life and how are you going to make it happen? Universally, there's that thing about giving yourself love and nurturing yourself is what it takes to get things off the ground. And we so easily overlook it and put all our energy into giving out, giving out, giving out, forgetting that it's actually by taking in first and kind of like filling up a car with the right kind of petrol that enables you to get about and do what you have to do and get things off the ground. After recording Sophia's dream, we hit the stop record button. And as any of you that have been a guest on the show will know from the past, usually I have a little chat with you after we finish recording and just tie up any loose ends and talk about things, aspects of the dream that a bit too confidential to discuss in public. And we did a bit of that with Sophia afterwards. And of course, I'm not going to say anything except that we explored that thing about 30 years ago and what happened then and the importance of reconnecting with stuff from back then. And it was just absolutely spot on and added the icing on the cake, added the extra bits that Sophia really needed to know there. So that's all really wonderful. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, do please email me. It's very easily done. You get so much out of it and you also get to contribute to all our listeners in over 30 countries to their enjoyment, just as you have enjoyed the show today. And of course, it doesn't cost you anything. It's a gift. Coming on the show is a gift that you give and it's a gift that we all love to receive and enjoy. Have a wonderful week and I'll talk to you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.